None of those.
We are not going to waste any time. We're going right to the phones, and we're going to bring on our first guest. Catherine Terrell covers the Saints for the Athletic in New Orleans. And Catherine, thanks again for being with us here on the Silver and Black today.
Thanks for having me.
All right. So, of course, the question everybody's asking you first, right? Michael Thomas. We heard that the Saints were like, well, he might have an opportunity to play. And then today, of course, during player availability, we heard Jared Cook say twice that he wasn't going to play this week. Where does it stand right now as you hear from your sources there in New Orleans?
I don't think he's going to play. I think that report very early this morning was just someone trying to create some doubt that, you know, maybe he will play. But, I mean, stranger things have happened. Jimmy Graham played a few years back despite being supposedly out for two games. So, you know, maybe a slim chance, but I doubt it. He hasn't practiced. We're getting towards the end of the week. I think they're going to sit him this week.
With Michael Thomas most likely being out, like you just mentioned, how big is it that they were able to pick up Emmanuel Sanders in the offseason and he can kind of do some of the heavy lifting along with Jared Cook?
Well, I think it's huge. I think it might end up being as big of an acquisition as Teddy Bridgewater proved to be last year when he had to replace Drew Brees. The Saints have needed a number two receiver for a long time, and now they have a guy that's more than capable of filling in for Michael Thomas, a guy that ran all over them just last season. So I think that's going to be, it's going to prove to be a very timely signing. And I'm kind of interested to see what they're going to do without Thomas and kind of how much they do focus on Sanders.
Catherine Terrell's with us from the Athletic in New Orleans. Catherine, I think the difference with, I mean, the injury with Michael Thomas, had this happened last year, it would have been a whole different story. They had the Saints had injuries all over the field. They seem to be in a little better spot than they were last year if this would have happened. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think just having Sanders and then Kamara healthy, Cook and Breeze both healthy, because Breeze was hurt around this time last year. So just all around offensively, they're in a very good spot. And then their rookie, Cesar Ruiz, is back. I don't know how much he's going to play this week, you know, having only practiced twice since the middle of training camp. But all around, I think they have a lot of depth, and they're in a very good spot to overcome this, even though Thomas does make up a huge part of their offense.
Sticking with the offense, and this is a conversation that we have quite a bit when we talk about the Saints. We start talking about Taysom Hill, and we know that his numbers aren't just like jumping off the stat sheet where it just shows how much of a monster he is. But how much does he contribute? Like, how big of a part is he to that offense for Sean Payton?
Well, I think that, you know, I know Taysom hasn't thrown that many passes, but I think defenses have to account for what he can do, and maybe that's why they went with that trick play at the end of the Bucs-Saints games last week, just to kind of remind defenses, hey, this guy can pass the ball too. I mean, Kamara actually ended up being, I think, wide open on that play. So I'm interested to see if they actually use Taysom Hill more on offense like they say they've been intending to. I think they did lessen his special teams role a little bit, like they said they would after he signed his new contract. But, hey, I mean, he does provide something special that really can't – I don't even know how to say it. I mean, not every player has that quality he has. When he comes on the field, he has the ability to be a game changer, and everyone saw that against the Vikings last year, and then he made some nice plays last week. So, who knows? Maybe they'll try to throw some trickery in again this week.
Catherine, when we spoke with you a few weeks ago to kind of preview during camp, you had mentioned, you know, we talked about Drew Brees, and we said, listen, at his age, of course, skills decline a bit. Does not mean that he's still not a very good NFL quarterback. But last week, of course, you know, people overreact week one in the NFL. It happens every year. But now he comes into game two, a big game here against the Raiders on Monday Night Football, without his top receiver. Are the Saints going to get a true idea of where Drew Brees is this year after this game, or you think it's going to take a few more weeks?
I think that's going to take a while. I don't think you could get a true assessment now that Michael Thomas isn't in there. I mean, Breeze used to kind of make a regular habit, though, of spreading the ball around and throwing touchdown passes to guys you've never even heard of. Having someone like Thomas that the offense is so focused on is actually really kind of relatively new for the Saints. I mean, they've had a few stars over the years, but none that controlled the offense so much like Thomas did. I mean, he was accountable for 40% of their offensive yards last year, or almost 40%, which is just crazy. So I would probably give Breeze a break for the next few weeks if Thomas isn't in. But, I mean, you do want to see if week one ends up being a pattern. I thought when I went back and watched the game again that Breeze didn't look as bad as I initially thought. And he does still have the ability to throw the deep ball, but it's definitely something to watch, especially as kind of the weeks go on and people start getting a little fatigued with, you know, just the grind of the season.
Looking at the defensive side of the ball, what is it that Dennis Allen has done that has really helped the Saints step up their defense? I know they got some new weapons on the secondary, Jackrabbit, Janoris Jenkins, and then you got Malcolm Jenkins. He returned. He's on the back end. But what is it that Dennis Allen does that makes that Saints defense so good?
Well, I just think the ability to be flexible. Really, they've kind of embraced the trend of positionless players this year. And what's interesting is they play in more nickel than seemingly they ever have. I think that when they only had three linebackers in the field for three snaps last week, which is really interesting because I wouldn't have expected that playing against Tampa with the way their front seven is. So, I mean, really, he just has the ability to move guys around. And you see safety C.J. Gardner-Johnson has become mainly their main nickelback. And then DJ Swearinger was in there a lot when they were in dime and things like that. So, I mean, he's really done a good job of kind of playing to each player's strength.
Catherine Terrell from The Athletic in New Orleans. And Catherine, are you gonna be out at the game? Are you coming?
I will be at the game, so I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, it'll be great. We'll look forward to meeting you there. But also, you know, coming out, the Saints, I'm sure, you know, look, they're a veteran team, but at the same time, you're coming into a brand new stadium. No fans, yes, but still, you want to come in and spoil that moment if you're the Saints for the Raiders. How have the players been talking about coming to Vegas? I mean, they're the first team to come to Vegas as a road team. I know Coach Payton answered a question about staying in casinos, which was sort of funny because they're kind of on lockdown anyway. But what's the overall mood with the organization coming to Las Vegas for the first time?
I think it's just typical players kind of downplaying the whole thing. I mean, it seems like the most they've talked about actual travel-wise is that Cam Jordan said he's going to get really antsy having to wait in the hotel all day until Monday night instead of being able to go out and kind of wander around and work off some of his nervous energy. I mean, so they have been asked questions about the new stadium, but it's just, you know, you kind of get players speaking response. But Jared Cook does seem pretty excited about it. So I think it's just different, just knowing that some of them will have family and friends there, but they're not allowed to come watch. And it's just odd. It's an odd way to open up this amazing new stadium. I mean, I'm looking forward to it, but it is strange that they'll have to kick this thing off with no fans. I still can't wrap my mind around it.
Yeah, there's a lot of Raider fans from Southern and Northern California who are coming to Las Vegas anyway, and the bars are officially opening. We're finally reopening the bars at midnight on Monday, so just in time. So it'll be a little crazier on the Strip, so you'll get a little bit of the flavor. Catherine.
Convenient timing.
Exactly. Imagine that. The governor knows how to improve his ratings, right? Catherine Terrell from The Athletic, we'll see you out at the game. Thanks so much for being with us again today.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
All right, Catherine Terrell and Q. Some good insight there from Catherine. And, of course, the Raiders facing the Saints without Michael Thomas. But the Raiders, too, Q, we got the latest injury report. Not much change there. A new addition, though, in LaMarcus Joyner did not play in practice, but it was not injury-related. Somebody had reported that it was, but it is not. And then also, nothing has changed with Henry Ruggs or with Nick Kwiatkowski. Although today, Paul Gunther, Q, I don't know if you heard this, said that Nick Kwiatkowski looked really, really good. So I don't know if that means he's on track to play Monday or if it just means it's not a big serious injury. He did not expand on that.
Yeah, it's interesting, man. It really is. I mean, one of the biggest factors or one of the biggest players going up against the Raiders could just be injury. You know, they had a lot of injuries hit them week one against the Panthers, and that could derail a season quick, fast, and in a hurry. I mean, look at the Saints. That one of their big-time players went down, but I'm keeping an eye on Trent Brown and Henry Ruggs, man. Those are my guys that I'm really focused in on to see what's going to happen with them Monday night.
Yeah, it's the Ruggs is interesting because I just don't understand. Well, we just haven't gotten any details, so we'll have to wait it out and see. I will be at practice tomorrow, so we'll check out. If he's out there tomorrow, that'll be a good sign. John Simpson, too, the rookie guard, listed with a shoulder injury, and he was limited in practice on Friday too. So another lineman. I know it's not a starting lineman, but still, they're having people drop. All right, we're gonna step aside. We have such a busy hour. We'll get to your calls top of the second hour or thereabouts. But we're gonna take a quick break here, and then we come back. Q and I will review a little more of the day's news. And at the bottom of the hour, Lewis Riddick. That's right, the NFL analyst on Monday Night Football, who I contend eventually will be a GM somewhere when he wants to be. He's probably going to have a lot of fun first doing TV, making a lot of money. That'll be good. But he is a really smart guy. Of course, he is a Raider, once a Raider, always a Raider. So we'll talk to Riddick about Monday Night Football, the game, the experience of coming to Las Vegas, what it means for the NFL. You're listening to Q and Scott here on the Silver and Black today, powered by Salmon Ash Injury Attorneys, only on Raider Nation Radio.